My name, of course, is Evangelist Mike Pelletier, but my mom did not name me Evangelist, to be honest. My birth certificate just says Michael Andrew Pelletier, born June 5th, 1965, but we added that thing Evangelist on there since I've been preaching, and I love preaching. So I'm really privileged, to be able to have that title Evangelist. But you know what? If I didn't have the title Evangelist, guess what I'd still do? Preach. And if I didn't have that name or official position, I remember one time somebody came to me and said, what you're doing is going to get people mad at you, and they might not like to have you preach anymore. I was trying to serve the Lord with a certain ministry, and I said, you know what? If people get mad and they don't like that I'm trying to do something, that's okay. I'll just go preach on the street. Amen? And now I'll find a way. And God opens the doors, I'm going to walk through them. But I'm an evangelist, and very glad that I am. And you can call me Brother Mike, if you're comfortable with that. Brother Pelletier, if you prefer that. Brother Ugly, if you prefer that, don't do that. Or I'll punch in the nose. But Brother Mike, something like that, or anything like that is really good, okay? And this is a ministry camp, and so this would be learning about ministry and getting a heart for ministry, and that's a good thing. And you guys came because you knew that's what it was, amen? Teens don't say amen, do they? Can you say cool beans? All right, let's do the amen. That's probably better anyway. But this is a ministry camp, right? Is that why you guys came? Can you give me an amen, sisters? Amen. All right, that's good. Guys, can you give me an amen?
Amen.
That's pretty good, you sisters and you guys. Okay, that was good. Now, we've got a real great week ahead. It's going to be incredible. I wish I could have done this when I was your age. You guys are going to have some Bible college professors sharing your knowledge, and it will be for free. And you won't even have to pay for the whole semester, and you get it all in a short time. It'll be a real blessing to you. You've got missionaries who have been serving the Lord that are going to be doing that, teaching you guys. Man, what a great week. You're going to have some tremendous musicians, and it's a ministry, week of ministry, opportunity of training. Going to get to hear from a president of a Bible college, Dr. Beal, and he's tremendous. And you've just got great opportunity. Now, some of you don't know this, but over here in the back, in the middle section here, is Dr. Childs. Brother Childs, you mind raising your hand? And he is someone that you want to get to know. You can just, like, sit by him, and you can just get something good rubbed off on you about walking with the Lord. And then right back here, we've got Dr. Scoville. Would you raise your hand, Doc? Doc Scoville's been in ministry work for years and years, and I don't know what he's going to be doing this week, but you can just hang around him and you'll sing better, okay? It just rubs off on you, and he'll give you heart for ministry. So let this week be a great week for you, and you believe it's going to be a great week, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And it will be a great week. And let's get started with this ministry camp by turning to Matthew chapter 25, and let's look at this in Matthew 25. Let's stand together out of respect for God's word. Matthew chapter 25. Wonderful. Now let's take a look beginning at verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, thou deliverest to me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Well, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents, for unto every one which hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him which hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we see the great potential of this week. And Heavenly Father, we see the great potential of these young people. And we ask you, dear God, to do something at this camp, in this place, that's not being done any other place in the world. We pray that you'll raise up an army of young people, young men and young women, that will give their lives to serving you wherever you would have them to serve, knowing that that is the greatest commission of all commissions. And we pray, Lord, that we'd be able to encourage these young people of their potential and also direct it and sharpen it, and that they would be different and never change, never go back to what they were when they came, but be better and stay focused, and that this would be a monumental, life-changing week for them all. In Christ's name we pray your blessing on the message. Amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. When I was a boy, I enjoyed science class. Did anybody else like science besides me? We did all kinds of experiments. Now, some girls complain about having to dissect a worm. Well, you should have to dissect. Well, we had to dissect cats. Now, I'm not the kind of guy that just likes to see animals killed. I'm not the kind of guy that just goes out and gets a big thrill out of blowing away Bambi. I have gone hunting, but it's not my big desire in life. But this cat was already dead, you know? And I thought, hey, no sense in wasting a good cat body, right? So we dissected it. We had a good time. Now, I enjoyed my science classes. And honestly, I've forgotten most of what I learned. But there's one experiment that we did that I remember to this day. We made our own batteries. Now, we took a plastic container, copper coil, stuck it in, 2 lead sticks, filled it with battery acid, charged it up, and we had our own batteries. Now, our professor or teacher was trying to teach us about 2 kinds of energy. Energy that was inside that battery when it was charged was potential energy. But then we hooked it up with a light bulb to a light bulb with some wires, and we had a little switch in it. When we put the switch down and connected the circuit, we would transfer that energy that was potential from the battery through the wire to the light bulb, and it would illuminate. Everybody follow me? Now, if you remember when you were taking those classes, you probably remember these terms. The energy in the battery is potential energy, but then it's not doing anything. But when you direct it to a place and it illuminates a light bulb, it's kinetic energy and it's doing something. Now, we've got like 70 campers here. Now, in my 70 campers here, I'm thinking about great, great, great potential. Now, I don't have any idea how many people that I had that privilege of leading to Christ. I would guess it probably through the 30 years of ministry could be somewhere around maybe 6,000. I don't know. Maybe that's a little high. Maybe that's a little low. I'm not sure. But it's a lot, and it's been fun. Every one of them has been meaningful. But you want to know something? If we've got 70 campers here, and if 70 campers in this camp get excited about serving God, and God uses you to each lead 1,000 people to the Lord in your lifetime, an average of 1,000, this little group right here could represent 70,000 people on the way to heaven instead of hell. And that's just the beginning. How many ever understood that when somebody gets saved, often they get trained, and often they win someone to Christ? Everybody ever think about that? So when we look at this group, we're not just talking about maybe even 70,000. We might be talking about 100,000 plus. And if we could see one person go to heaven because of us, would we want to do it? Yes or no? But what if we could have the potential of thousands and thousands and thousands? I think that's a big deal, don't you? That's what we've got right here at this Christian ministry camp. Amen? Now, as we look at this evening, this passage is not specifically talking about maybe the church, but there is some application in that Jesus, our master, gave us talents, and he gave us a job to do, and he went away, and he's coming back, and we're going to answer to God for if we live for him, if we don't, right? So I want to talk to us about kinetic energy and challenge us at the very beginning to get our thinking on this week being a greatest week of our lives, maybe, where we just decide, I'm going to go all out and all in and use my life and my energy for the things of God. Now, the first thing that I want to draw our attention to is potential energy. Now, I've already talked about it. Energy in the battery exists, but when it's just sitting there, it doesn't accomplish anything. You guys have great potential, 70 lives, but it may not accomplish anything except eating and drinking and paying the bills until you die. Then they put you in a grave and your body begins to decay. And the worms and the maggots have their way with you. Wow. I just as soon have a life that counts. Amen? Now, who in this room has potential? I want you to notice the distribution of potential in this story. I want you to look at verse 15. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Now, talents here represent money, but we have an application here. We all have been given different talents from the Lord. Now, some of you may think a little bit more highly of yourself than you ought to think. I just want to help you out. Let me tell you something. It's good to be secure, and it's good to be confident that God's given you some abilities, but it's never good to be arrogant. And the moment that you start thinking of yourself as all that, you limit your ability to be used by God. But you know what's really good is when somebody's got great potential and they don't know it. They just do the best they can with whatever they have. But each of us has talent. Now, each of us has talent. How many of you are Christian young people? Genuinely accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you meant it, you're not faking. You're not perfect, but you're genuine. You've been born again. Now, if you're a child of God, you know what that means. God gave you potential. Now, some of you are 5-talent Christians. Some of you are 2-talent Christians. Some of you are only 1-talent Christians. And some of you think you're 1-talent Christian, but you're actually 5-talent Christian. But the issue is not how many talents you have, but the issue is will you make use of what you've got? God does not need much. And here's what I want to encourage you to say at the beginning of the ministry camp. One day God looked down and he saw a man by the name of Moses. And he said, Moses, what is that in thine hand? He said, a rod, just a beat up stick. And he said, go show my power to Pharaoh. Now he dropped that rod on the ground and what did it turn into? A what? And then he picked it up by the tail and it turned back into a... And when he got to the Red Sea, he held that stick out, and it parted, and they walked across on dry ground. And Pharaoh's army followed, and they were drowned. Now, on a scale of 1 to 10, how big was that miracle? About a 72. And what did God use? Just an old beat-up stick. See? Even though you're real skinny, God can use you. I'm only kidding. Okay, now. A stick was all that he needed. Now, one day God saw a man by the name of Gideon. And he said, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon goes like this. And God said, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. And he did not think that he was that much. But God said, I've got a job, and I want you to go do it, defeat the Midianites. And guys, listen, it's a true story, and it's an illustration for us. What did God use? 300 people, clay pitchers, candles, and trumpets, and he went and defeated the Midianites. God looked down, and he saw another man named David. He said, go defeat Goliath. What do you have in your hand? 5 stones and a sling. Yes, it's something he learned in third grade, but it was an adult I think David was a little bit older than just 8 years old. I think he may have been 18. I don't know. But God used a man to do a miracle, and you're not going to put your hands on anybody's head and heal them, but God might use you to win someone to Jesus so you go to heaven and instead of their going to hell. And God in John chapter 6, illustration, used a boy, 5 loaves and 2 fish. Make the men sit down. They sat down, and he fed 5,000. And God does not need much. Now, here's what we're going to start with at this ministry camp. You've got potential. I'm not just trying to give you good feeling, but it's you've got potential. It's not a pep talk. It's a Bible talk. Some have 5. Some have 2. Some have 1, but each has some. Is that what it says? Yes or no? So who in this room has potential to be used by God? Every one of us. Now, the second thing that I want you to notice is the distribution of potential, the development of potential. All right, now, let's look at chapter 25 again, and I want to look at verse 16. Then he which had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. So he turned 5 talents into 10. And then likewise, he had received 2. He also gained other 2. He turned 2 talents into 4. And that's developing your potential. Now, why are we having this ministry camp? Because we want you to know that God can use you. And secondly, we want to challenge you to get ready for it. And we want to help you to get ready for it. And you're going to learn some things that will get you more ready for serving the Lord. Even if you don't end up being on a mission field, which we hope maybe God will call some of you. God says, pray the Lord of the harvest. And listen, we're not just trying to get someone in this group to consider going into God's service. We don't need a soldier. We need an army. And we're going to try to challenge as many of you as possible, but we want you to do what God wants you to do. If you're not in full-time ministry, you're not a second-class Christian, but you'll see that's an exciting thing. And you'll also see that if you're not willing to consider full-time ministry, you're just not fully surrendered. So you do what God tells you to do. We've got to have people in the field, but I'm going to tell you, this week we're going to help you to develop. Now, here's the picture of developing your potential. Now, we can develop our potential in many ways. I remember the first time that I went weightlifting in a gym. I went into the gymnasium, and I saw these skinny guys lifting weights, pumping iron, and they were on that bench press. Well, and when they got done, I thought, well, I'll start with something light. I'll go start with what they started with. So I went over to that weight bench, and I laid back on it. My spotter was back here in case I dropped it. Well, I wouldn't. It was light. And so I didn't know what to do, and I looked around, and I saw everybody going. So I go. And I lift that thing right back down on my chest. That thing was heavy. And I remember laughing, but I remember couldn't breathe. I remember my spotter was supposed to save my life, lifted up, put it on the weight bench, was laughing so hard he couldn't lift it. So the only thing I was going to do was die unless somebody would intervene. And so a guy came by with one arm, big strong guy, picks it up, boom, boom, and he put it on the weight bench. I felt like a dork. I thought, I know I can lift this. I must have done something wrong. So I tried a little bit harder. I breathed a little bit harder, and I went. Right back down on my chest. My spotter is really laughing now. Same guy came by, lifted it up, put it on the bench, and this time he thought it was a dork. And this time he said, hey, you need to back off and try a little bit lighter weight. I said, yeah, but those guys look like they're skinny, but they're a lot stronger than they look. They've developed their muscle. Now, I started with a little bit less weight, and then I added a little bit more weight, and before long, I could lift more than I originally attempted. And I haven't lifted in a while, and you can tell by looking at me, but at the time, I developed my potential. Now, can you develop your potential in athletics? Yes or no? If you practice, can you develop your potential in education if you try to study? Can you develop your potential in music? Yes or no? And that's one of the things we're going to do this week. Now, follow me. 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, I had a girl come to me, and she said, Brother Pelletier, what do you think? Do you think there's a need for people to study piano? She said, what do you think? And I said to her, listen, if I could get 1,000 piano players, it would not be enough to fill the need in our churches across this country. And we need some people to study piano. But here's what I'm telling you. If you're developing your potential in piano, don't quit. Okay? But here's what I'm telling you. God says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, here's the question. How many have ever heard that verse, study to show thyself approved unto God, before? Okay, hold up real high. And you know what happens sometimes? We quote it like a little kid. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. And I'm not trying to mock that. That's great. You know when kids learn? You know when you get the Bible in you when you're a kid, okay? But you know what's going to have to happen now that you're growing up? You're going to have to get, watch me, not the Bible in you. You're going to have to get the Bible in you. See the difference? If you could see a difference, would you say amen? Okay, now, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, and need it not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing, or, listen, study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, why does God want you to study your Bible? So he can look down and see how smart you are? No. He wants to see you a useful person that he can use. And so you take responsibility. You take responsibility. And here's what you do. You decide, I'm going to take these classes this week responsibly. I'm going to take this piano responsibly. And I'm going to learn and I'm going to get something because I want to be more useful for God. Now, how many of you really believe that you can become more useful for God if you just sharpen your talents? Amen? So let's do that. Let's do that. This week could be a great week. A great, great week. All right, now, potential energy. Who's got potential? All of us. But we also have to develop our potential, and that's what we're commanded to do. Why? Because this group right here, you might not see it, could be used by God for thousands of souls going to heaven instead of hell. And what a great prospect. The potential is great. All right, now the second thing that I'm going to look at is directed energy. All right, directed energy. First, potential. We've all got it. Second, directed. Now, you have an illustration of directed energy. We all do right here. Look at verse 16. Then he that received the 5 talents, when it traded with the same, it made them other 5 talents. He directed it into the place of trading. Maybe it would be the stock market. Maybe it would be just, he went to the market and he traded this and he got this a little more value. Then he wisely made this decision and he directed it into something profitable. Now then, verse 18, he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth. Now, obviously, the bank would be considered the bank of heaven, or the trading would be the things of heaven. But then the burying it in the ground would be directing your energies into this world. Now, Matthew 6:19 already tells us where we should put our energies. You tell me, heaven or this place? Heaven. All right, Matthew 6:19. Laying up for yourselves treasures on earth. Don't be this way. Don't lay up yourselves treasures here where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. You lose it. It'll rot. It won't be any good in the end. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in, we've already said it, heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. Now, we direct the energy. We've got a battery. We made a battery. We hooked it up with two wires to a light bulb. So we directed that energy to the destination we wanted it to go. Now, we could have directed it to a metal chair. If our friends would sit on it, they would be shocked. We could have directed it to something like that. But we directed it to where it was needed, a light bulb. Now, you are going to direct your 72 years on earth. As a matter of fact, you're going to direct your 5 days at camp. As a matter of fact, you're going to direct all your life and all intricate parts of your life into either the bank of heaven or the things of this earth. Now, energy can be used for good or bad, depending on where you direct it. Now, you will be used for good or bad, depending on where you direct your life. How many of you think that you could do some bad things? How many believe you could do some great things? And you've got a little bit to do with what happens. Now, a syringe is used by a nurse for helping people. A drug addict will use it for evil. The syringe can be used for good or bad. A gun, a policeman, a thief, a knife, a surgeon to save lives, a criminal to take lives. Nuclear power, give energy to an entire city. Nuclear power, destroy an entire city. Your life, how's it going to be directed? Now, there are too many people, they have no direction in life. And so because they have no direction in life, guess what they do? One of two things. One, they just waste it. Waste it on nothing. And that's why God says, ponder the path of thy feet and let thy ways be established. You determine at this age, this life is going to count. And you establish it's going to go into the things of God, whether you're in full-time ministry or whether you're not. It's going to go into the things of God. And it starts right now, okay? Now, you are going to determine where you direct your life. Direct your energies into the things of God. I've learned you can't make a teenager do anything that they don't want to do. But I do hope that through this week, the great men and women that are going to influence you and my time in the Word and some others will make you want to direct your energy into God's Word. I hope we inspire you. I hope we make it exciting to you because it is exciting. And if we could just let you see it, you would want to not waste your life. You'd want to use it on something wonderful. Now, energy directed into the bank of heaven, right? It's profitable. He turned 5 into 10. He turned 2 into 4. And hear me, the smallest thing you do for the Lord is profitable. Do you ever feel like you're not making an impact? The smallest thing you do. If you give somebody a gospel tract and they don't get saved, was that a waste of time? No, you made them think about God. If you just invite somebody to church and they don't come, was that a waste of time? No, you make them think about God, and that's how it all starts. Anything directed into the bank of heaven, it's profitable. Number two, it is rewarded. Now, what did God say to the one that turned 5 talents into 10? He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee rule over many things. Now, what did he say to the one that did the lesser thing? Now, don't let this go in like this. Don't go, I've heard this story before. Go like this. I heard this story, but I want to hear it. What did he say to one in 2 talents? Turn it into 4. Same thing. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And here's what you want to do. You want to be faithful. Now, some of you, God's going to put you in the ministry. You know what you're supposed to do if you get in the ministry? Be what? Faithful. Let's all say that. Be faithful. Now, some of you, God's going to put you on a mission field. Is he going to ask you, well, did you see 10 people saved, 10,000, or did you only see 2,000? Did you see 100, or did you only see 20? He's not going to ask you that. He's going to ask you this. Were you what? Faithful. How many would say, I'd like to be faithful? Amen? Now, what God is looking for is for faithfulness. But the fact is, you got to know what God wants you to do before you can be faithful to it. And maybe this week, God will give you direction in what he wants you to do. But I do know this, he wants us to be faithful. Now, if we are faithful, he rewards. Now, what did he give to the one that had 10? He gave him a reward. What did he give to the one who had 2 to 4? He gave him the same reward. And I'm telling you, God will reward you for everything you do for him. Now, some people tell you, you're wasting your life if you're thinking about serving God. I remember when I surrendered to be in evangelism. I went to a lady in my church, Myrtle Skinner, good godly lady, but not thinking straight lady. And I said to her, Myrtle, I'm surrendering to preach. And you know what Myrtle said? I'm so disappointed. She actually told me that. I said, why, Myrtle? And she said, you've got a good job at JCPenney's. And the way that you're going, you're selling suits. You keep this up, you could be a manager. Now, would I want to be a manager at JCPenney's selling men's suits? Now, I don't have any problem with men selling suits, but I have something that I love so much better than selling suits. I love being used by the Lord. I'm not better than anybody else. I am just blessed more than many people that I get to do this. I'm not enduring it. I'm loving it. And it is a wonderful thing. Now, if you do serve God, young people, whatever he asks you to do, it's profitable, it's rewarded, and it pleases the Master. In verse 21, his Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. In verse 23, his Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. And you know what, young people? I do want to please the Lord of my life. Do you? Do you? Now, if you do, find out the will of God and do it, and it will please the Master. And then, if you waste your energy on the things of the world, it'll be unprofitable. Matthew 25:24. Then he said to him which had received the one talent, the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping that hast not sown together, and that hath not strawed, and I was afraid, and when it hid thy talent in the earth. But notice he says in verse 25, lo, there thou hast that is thine. You know what that means? I started with one, I still got one. No benefit. No profit. What good is that? Now, not only is it not profitable, it doesn't really accomplish anything that's lasting. Let's say you give your life to helping somebody with psychology and you straighten out their life, okay? So maybe they think a little bit better about themselves and they don't have all this depression. And maybe you straighten something out and they have a better family. But you don't, listen, don't tell them about Jesus, okay? And they die and go to hell. Sure helped them think better about themselves, straighten out some of their turmoil that they were feeling in their heart, but they die and go to hell because we didn't tell them about Jesus. Did we do any lasting good? See what I'm saying? I'm not saying there's not any value in any of that, but I'm saying let's do something that's going to have value no matter where we're at, okay? Profitable, unprofitable if we don't serve God. If we put it into the things of the earth, instead of reward, we will experience loss. Now he said in verse 28, take therefore the talent from him and give it to him that hath 10 talents. You will experience loss. Now, if a battery is not used, just as an illustration, there are lots of ways we could do this, but if a battery is not used and it just sits inside a flashlight, it corrodes. Anybody seen that happen? And it just loses all of its potential. You know what happens when you don't even practice? You start corroding. You know what happens when you don't serve God and you start serving self? You start corroding and you lose your potential. And you know what will happen, young people? If you're not careful and you get crud on you, like a battery gets crud when it corrodes, some of you, if you're not careful, you're going to do something real soon that you're going to regret because it'll affect whether you ever could be used to your full potential. Don't corrode. Don't let the devil get in here, guys. Let's reach our potential. If you could be used by God, would you want to? Amen. All right, now first, instead of serving God, we serve ourselves or the world. It's unprofitable. It doesn't please the master. And instead of pleasing the master, we get a rebuke. And God says, thou wicked and slothful servant. And if I were to look at the judgment seat of Christ, I would tell you this. It's a lot more serious than a lot of people think it is. I'm not going to be preaching on that tonight, but it's a lot more serious. And you do not want to stand before God having been a disobedient or self-absorbed Christian. So you want your life to count. Amen. Now, who's got potential? Every one of us. How many people are here at camp again? You guys remember, I kind of told you, what is it? 70. I think the exact number is 71. I kind of like that extra one being here, don't you? Because you guys will like that, especially if it's your wife one day. But anyway, I'm only kidding about that. But I'd like to have that extra one. Why? Because that extra one might be an extra one that wins another one to the Lord Jesus. And that'll count for eternity because we had that extra one here. Amen? So the potential is incredible. Now, you think I'm exaggerating. I am not. I am telling you, in a lifetime of serving the Lord, you could win people to Christ. In a lifetime of serving the Lord, you could win 1,000 to Christ. In a lifetime of serving the Lord, you might win 6,000 to Christ or more. It only is faithfulness that God's looking for, but it's still exciting to dream a little bit. Amen? Amen? Dream a little bit. What could God do, honestly, with you? All right, we've each got potential. Number two, we've got to develop our potential. Number one, we've each got potential, which has 2 points under it. Distribution of it, kinetic energy, developing our energy. The second thing we're looking at is directed energy. We need to direct it into the bank of heaven, and that's where we're kind of going with this week. And we're trying to develop you to make you better at it. You've got a responsibility, guys. Don't just sit there, learn. Don't just sit there, get into it. Don't just sit there, do it. And if you're here to learn, get all in. And this is going to be a great week. Don't just coast, dive in and develop that potential. Wow. And just think, maybe God will give you something this week that'll help you next week win someone else to the Lord or serve God in your future. Now then, we've got, the last thing is kinetic energy. Now, does anybody remember what kinetic energy is? Neither do I. I forgot. No, I remember. Kinetic energy is turning your energy on, using your energy, making that potential become kinetic. Now let's look at verse 16 and 17. Very simple, and we're about done. All right, verse 16. Then he that had received the 5 talents, when it traded with the same, he did something with it. Likewise, he had received 2. He also gained 2. He did something with it. Now, you've got potential. Are you going to do something with it? You've got potential. You're going to do something with it. Now, the illustration of a light, I learned when I was a boy, my mom said, don't play with the light switch. Now, somehow, Mom figured out that I was playing with a light switch. I don't know if it was because light went off, on or off, but Mom figured it out. And so I would be in trouble. And I learned you could turn the light on, you could turn it off. You could turn it on, you could turn it off. And here's what you can do as a Christian. You could turn your light on, and you could say, I'm going to help or I'm not going to help. I'm going to open my mouth, I'm going to leave it shut. I'm going to do music or I'm not going to do music. And you can make yourself kinetic where you do something instead of just sit there. And I want to challenge us to do something. Now, God doesn't say we're spiritual just because we do a lot. We can be very busy and not be spiritual. But a spiritual person will want to be used by the Lord. Now, I remember the first time that I turned my light on that I can remember. I was swinging on a swing. And when I was swinging on the swing at Limestone Grade School, I was next to this guy named Mark. And as we're swinging, I thought, I wonder if Mark's saved. And it's like the Lord said, well, ask him. So I said to him, Mark, can I talk to you? He said, sure, let's go over here. And I took him over by the dumpster where there was a little concrete slab. And I said, Mark, do you know if you die, you go to heaven? I don't know exactly, something like that. He goes, I don't know. I said, well, would you want to know? Well, sure. Can I tell you? Okay. So I told him the best that I knew how, and Mark prayed and got saved. And I loved it. I remember we had vacation Bible school right after that, and I took him with me to Bible school, and I said, this is my friend Mark. He got saved, and I loved it. And I wanted to get another one. And I was really young, and I can remember going to my dad, and I said, Dad, I'm going to go win Tim Panazzo to the Lord. Tim Panazzo was the bad guy, the bully on our block. And my dad actually said, guys like Tim don't get saved. I said, well, I'm going to talk to him anyway. So I talked to Tim, and we went down over a little hill in my backyard. I said, Tim, can I talk to you? He said, sure. So we sat down. I said, Tim, you know you're going to heaven? I knew he wasn't. And he said, I don't know. I said, well, do you want to know? He said, well, sure. I said, can I tell you? Sure. And I led Tim Panazzo to Christ. And I don't know if he really got saved. He still beat me up. I know. But I tried. And then I can remember when I was a little bit older, I turned the light on. And not that I'm the example, but I'm telling you, you guys can do this. I turned the light on. I was with a couple of friends. And they had some friends over from the neighborhood. And we were playing football. And I said to him, hey, are your friends going to heaven? He said, I don't know. I said, let's ask them. So we did, and we said, would you like to be saved? They said, yeah, sure. Would you like to know how to get to heaven? Sure. So we went in and we borrowed that guy's mother's Bible, and we led those two to the Lord. Now, I was at Bible college studying for the ministry, and I was challenged by a story of D.L. Moody. And D.L. Moody was a guy who was known for soul winning, and I was challenged that D.L. Moody didn't let a day go by without trying to win someone to Christ. Now, I don't do that. I try to do that, to not let a day go by without at least witnessing to somebody. And Moody didn't win someone to the Lord every day, probably, but he tried to witness to somebody every day. I try to do that, at least with a gospel tract, but I don't get that all the time. But I do try. So I was challenged by D.L. Moody. So I went home Christmas vacation, 3.5 weeks, and I said, I'm not going to let a day go by over Christmas break without giving somebody a gospel tract or witnessing. I can do that. And so I did that, and I made up my mind. My path was established. Let your way be established. And so I pondered the path, and I said, these 3.5 weeks are going to count. And I got to witness a lot. But the last week I was there, last day I was there, I was out till 2 a.m. with some of my friends. Before I went home, before I went back to college, one last night out with some friends. And I got home. I was staying with the Lang family because my mother lived in Guam, and Mrs. Lang was there at 2 o'clock when I got home. She said, did you have a good time? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I hope you did. Now she said, now, did you witness to anybody today? Because I know you were out with your friends a lot. She knew my goal. And I said, oh, I forgot. I guess I didn't reach my goal. And you know what Mrs. Lang said? You're going to reach your goal. Get back out there. I says, Mrs. Lang, it's after 2 o'clock. She says, I don't care. Get back out there. I said, okay, Miss Lang, you're in charge. So I went out, found somebody walking down the street. And I gave somebody a gospel tract. I don't remember if they got saved, but I remember going up to the man and giving him the tract. And you know what? You can turn it on or you can leave it off. Turn it on or leave it off. Turn it on or leave it off. And I say, let's turn our energies on. Amen? Amen. Now, are you going to turn your energy on? Are you going to develop it? Is this just going to be a week where you're a dud or a week where you're all in? I think the potential's great. Let's bow our heads. Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this evening, how many of you would say, Brother Mike, I needed this message because though I want to serve God, I just haven't been on fire about it. I haven't been on fire about it. And I need to step up my dedication and my focus on really being used by God. If you know what I'm saying, I want to step up my commitment level on really being used by God. Now, if you don't raise your hand, it doesn't mean you're not already trying to serve God. I'm talking specifically, you feel in your heart, you feel that your dedication level has been challenged and you're going to step it up to the next level of dedication because you'll want to. You see your potential and you really want to step up to that next level of surrender. Would you just raise a hand if God's speaking to your heart? You, I need to step it up and I want my life to count even more than what I've been counted. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you there. Good, good, good. Several across the room. Amen. You've got potential. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Now, is there anybody who would say, Brother Mike, I needed this because, frankly, I'm a little bit shy. I'm a little bit insecure, to be honest. Now, nobody is looking, so don't feel intimidated. Guess what? I naturally am a pretty insecure person. I naturally am. But I finally realized, you know what? God can still use me. And he'll cripple me once in a while if I get thinking wrong, and he'll cripple you. And I wonder if there's anybody here who would say, Brother Mike, I was encouraged to know I do have potential, and this has encouraged me. I needed that. Would you slip up a hand and put it down? That's encouragement to me. God bless you. God bless you, because you do have potential. You know what the best thing about what I just said? It's true. It's true. Amen. Now, I would like to ask you if you tonight want to step up your commitment level. We're going to stand to our feet, and I want to give you an opportunity to come and have a word of prayer. And if you want to come and just pray even, Lord, help me to get a lot out of this to develop my potential, that'll be a great thing to come and pray about too. Let's stand to our feet, and our pianist is going to play, and you just slip out all across the room, and you just come and kneel here at the front. All across the room, you come and you have a word of prayer. There's stairs, steps, there's a front bench. You just come, have a word of prayer. Say, God, I need to step up my commitment level. I need to step up my faith that you can use me. I need to, Lord, get rid of this corrosion that's keeping me from being fully used, maybe. And if you want to come and pray, it's good for the soul. I'm going to step up my commitment level. I've got potential. I don't want to waste this life. I want to surrender to you. So pray and talk to the Lord about it as the pianist plays. I want to talk to the Lord about this full surrender. Lord, I want to step up my commitment level. I want to believe the potential is there. I know I'm nothing, but with you, here I am. If you'll use me, here I am.